Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Hey One Church, what an incredible weekend we have just had at We Are One, and it is my privilege and honour today to be taking us to part four of our series, We the People. The other week I was sat watching some breakfast TV, and this interview completely captivated me. I couldn't take my eyes off the screen and I couldn't take my ears away from what was happening. I shushed my children as this interview took place with a woman called Selma van der Peer. And this lady was an elderly lady who was recounting her stories of how she was a resistance fighter and a survivor of Ravensbrück. She was a Jewish girl who changed her identity and worked with the resistance fighters to travel documents across trains and all sorts of amazing exploits that she was living out. And as her words started to tell these stories like it was just yesterday, I was completely captivated by her courage and her bravery, by the exploits that she had and the fact that she had just gone through all these things. And I was completely captivated by her story. And I was just imagining myself, putting myself in her shoes, imagining being brave enough to do those things, being able to do things scared. And often I find myself in reading books as a kid. I would read things like the Chronicles of Narnia and imagine myself being as brave as Lucy and imagining myself as being those people that do great exploits. And it's the same when I read stories of missionaries like Jackie Pullinger, a young girl who moved to the walled city in Hong Kong and rescued drug addicts and confronted gang lords and all of these amazing exploits that I would read, and I'd put myself in her shoes and I'd fantasize about being just like that. I'd dream about being just like that, just brave enough to see these amazing stories happen. And when I read my Bible, I'm the same when I recount the stories of Peter and just walking up to the gate beautiful and seeing a beggar there who was lame from birth, and he says, hey, I haven't got gold and silver, but what I have got is much better than that. Come on, stand up and walk. And I read these exploits and I'm amazed and it gets me really excited, and I imagine, what would it be like to be like that? Or to be like Paul and Silas as they praise God in a jail cell, as they're completely chained in this jail cell, and suddenly as they're praising God, the jail wall comes down, but they stay, don't run away, and they confront the jailer, and the jailer gets baptized and the whole of his family. These amazing stories of incredible moments, and I think, oh, wouldn't it be amazing? I dare to dream for a second that wouldn't it be amazing if I could be like that? Wouldn't it be amazing if I could see God moving through me like that? And I put myself into these shoes and I dream for a minute, and then all of a sudden I come back down to earth and go, yeah, but you're not like that. You're not in the same situation, or you're not really brave enough. And, you know, there's stuff that you've got to do. You've got to potty train your children. You've got to feed them their dinner. You've got all these other things going on. That's a great fantasy, but this isn't who you are right now. And I come landing back down to earth, and then we go through a global pandemic and we're stuck with this situation where we have this rule of six that feels like it's constricting and difficult, and oh man, I'm deflated. And you know, those are great stories that I can read, those are great dreams that I can have, but they will never really be a reality where I am right now. But you know what, I think God sees things differently to that. God sees past the constrictions and the confinement that I feel, and he sees into who I really am. He says, actually, no, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You see, the rule of six, let me tell you, the rule of six does not outrule the promise of the two or three. The promise of the two or 3, and that's the title of my message today. So why don't you go with me to Matthew 18, verses 19 to 20, and it says this: "Again, truly," this is Jesus speaking, "I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Hey, the rule of six does not outrule the promise of the two or three. Hey, let's just pray a second. Father God, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will give us revelation right now of what it means to be a people who gather in two or three and see you do something incredible in your name and for your name. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. I love these verses, and I get excited when I read these verses, because what this does is it gives me truth that helps me understand that actually I am a person of power because of who Jesus is. I am a person that when, no matter how tight the constraints get, God is with me. God is in the room with us right now. Where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there with us. And this gets me really excited. And as I was reading through these verses, I discovered quite conveniently four P's that can help us to download what Jesus is saying here, to really soak in what Jesus is saying here, because I believe that God doesn't want us just to see other people's great exploits and watch from afar. I don't think that Jesus just wants us to dream that one day we might be able to experience incredible miracles and moments with God, but he wants us to live them right now. We have no excuses. The rule of six right now in our lives is no excuse, because it cannot outrule the promise of the two or three. So I found four P's in here that are going to help unlock this for us and to live this out. And the first P to note is this: people. People. You see, it says, "Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth," if two of you on earth, and then later it says, "where two or three gather in my name, I am there with them." God loves people. God wants to use people to throw out his master plan on the earth. Isn't it amazing? It absolutely blows my mind that God wants to use you and me for his great plan. Like, let that sink in for a second. God wants to use you and me to work out his master plan on the earth. That's absolutely huge. That's absolutely amazing. And you know, it's just like God, because God made us in his likeness. He made people in his likeness. And God is a God that is three in one. We have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working perfectly in combination with each other, in community with each other, to outwork his plan on the earth. And then God says, hey, you're made in my likeness, and you need two or three. You need people around you that you're communing with. You need two people around you who you're doing life with. I want you to be people who work together to work out my plan on the earth. Isn't that absolutely incredible that God chooses to use people? And he doesn't just want people to gather just for the sake of it. He calls us to gather under a person, the person of Jesus. And that is our second P. It says, "Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in" what? "My name. Where two or three gather in my name, I am there with them." You see, God wants us to gather around who he is. You know, it's good when we gather to celebrate just being friends. It's good when we gather around birthdays. It's good when we gather for all sorts of different reasons. It's good when we gather to watch a football game. It's good when we gather in all these different ways. But if we're not gathering under the name of Jesus, it's just good. It's not great. There is a whole nother level of things that happen when we gather under the name of Jesus. I can't wait to be able to gather as a church in our buildings again. I can't wait for that moment where we're able to stand shoulder to shoulder and we're able to worship freely. But the truth is this, is it will be great to be able to see my mates in church. It will be great to see the people that I haven't been able to catch up with yet. It will be great to be part of that moment where we walk back through the doors. But unless we're gathering under the name of Jesus, I don't really know what the point is. You see, God wants to use people and he wants to use them under the person of who Jesus is. You see, the secret of the promise of power comes from seeking the person of Jesus. The third P is this: power. It says this: truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. If you agree about anything, God's going to do it. God wants to move in power. He doesn't just want to move in power when we're meeting together in buildings. He doesn't just want to move in power for the sake of it. He wants to move in power where you are at right now, in your two or threes, in your home, where you are right now. God wants to move in power. It says this in Ephesians 1. It says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. God's power working through you. He's chosen his people. He said, hey, you're it, and I'm going to give you my power. Jesus himself said, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Ah, can you remember the works that he's been doing? Raising the dead, the blind can see. Oh my goodness, incredible things. And they will do, are you ready? Even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Jesus said, you're going to do greater things. You're going to see my power at work in you and through you to do incredible things. It says in Ephesians 2 this means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies. Remember, the presence and the power of God was contained to the Holy of Holies, this place in the temple. But when Jesus came, he changed that. And he's turning you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Just like the stories I told at the beginning of this message about people doing incredible exploits like Paul and Silas and Peter and all these different incredible stories that we hear, or the miracles that Jackie Pullinger saw as she served the people of the walled city. God's power at work in them is at work in you today. God's power comes with his presence, and where two or three are gathered, he is there. His presence is there with you. God wants to use you right now, not your pastor, not your the person that is ahead of you in your journey, not that person that has that particular anointing. God wants to use you. He promises where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them, and I want to move in power. He has given us his power, and God's power is used for the purpose of his presence being made known to everybody in your world. To everybody in your world. You see, the point of God's power moving is so that his presence is felt by others. God wants to do miracles in your life. God wants to turn up in your house. God wants to turn up when you speak and when you declare healing over somebody's life. Why? Because he wants his presence to be felt by people who do not know that there is a God in heaven who loves them, who is for them, who has sent his son for them, and who has given them the power of the Holy Spirit. How cool is that? It's not enough for people to just have a good opinion of who Jesus is, but they must be transformed by his demonstration of his power in their lives. You see, Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 to 5. He said, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but in God's power." The purpose of God's power turning up is so that people will be transformed. Not so that you can have a comfortable life and a perfect life where the bank balance is already always full and you have a perfect hip health. It's not just for that reason. He is wanting to move in power so that people understand that it was God's power moving that has transformed them. Not just a human answer to a question, but it's like, hey, I'm more than that. I'm more than just good news. I'm great news. I'm incredible news. I'm life transforming news. You see, it's not enough for us just to persuade people that God's a good guy. Jesus, loads of people have a positive opinion of who Jesus was, but when they've seen the power of God move, they cannot deny it and they are transformed by it. That's what Paul's saying. They're transformed by it. You can't ignore the power of God. And you have the authority given to you by Jesus, by his power, by his Spirit, that wherever we gather in his name, he is there with us. And wherever Jesus turns up, things happen. Things change. When Jesus turned up to a wedding, it was the best wedding that anyone had ever been to because he did a miracle and turned water into wine. When Jesus turned up at a table at a tax collector's house, we saw this extravagant moment happen. When Jesus turned up next to a grave side, people got out of the graves. When Jesus bumped into some mourners, people rose from the dead. This is who Jesus is. When he bumped into a blind guy, his eyes opened. You see, when Jesus is present, when Jesus is in the room, things change. Things happen. Miracles happen. People get revelation of who they are, really. Not who they think they are, but who God has called them to be. When Jesus turns up, when Jesus is present, the power of God unfolds before you. So when he says where two or three are gathered in my name for who I am, gather around who I am. When you gather like that, my presence is there. And whatever you ask in my name, whatever you agree with and two or three of you, I am going to do it. My Father is going to do it. We can't ignore those things. What an amazing promise. You see, that promise, oh my goodness, that promise cannot be outruled by any rule of six. That promise cannot be outruled by your own thinking and your own ideas about how God does and doesn't move. When we realize this promise, we realize that God, right now, in your living room, is there. Have you gathered in his name today? Well, yeah. Then he's there, his presence is there, and where his presence is, his power is, and where his power is, things change. And you know, I was as I was prepping for this message today, I felt like God wants to do some miracles right where you are. And just as I was preparing, I was like, well, God, what do you want to do with this? What are the two or three that are gathered in their homes going to experience right now? And you know, there's no better time to apply this message than right now. And so I want you to take a deep breath and ask the people that are in your room right now. Ask your kids, ask your husband, your wife, or your neighbours if they're sat with you today. What is it that you need God to do? Is there something that you need a miracle in? Or are you just needing to experience his presence again? Because God wants to do those things. Because where two or three are gathered, we the people, as we gather in his name, he is there with us. And where his presence is, his power is. And God wants to do a miracle in your living room. So right now, ask the question. Ask the question. And as I was preparing, I asked God the question myself, because it's all very well for me to stand here and do it, to tell you to ask the people in your world what miracles they need. But I asked God, what is it you're going to do, God? And as I asked, I had these four pictures straight away of one of some people, including some kids, praying for a knee and it being healed. And then I had a picture of somebody who had like a skin disease, like a flaky rash, and God completely healed it. I saw somebody else who had thin hair on their head and that hair grew back. And I saw this picture of some people talking to their neighbours over some bins and then praying for a hand. And right now, if that's you and you're in your living room and you're like, hey, I have a problem with my knee, why don't you gather around that knee, because God wants to heal it right now. Perhaps you're the person with the skin complaint, whether you're the person with the hair loss, God wants to do something incredible right now. And though the root cause of that hair loss is stress, God is going to give you a peace that transcends all understanding. God's presence is where two or three are gathered. And if you're in your house right now and you're completely on your own, let me tell you, you and I are gathered right now. And Jesus is in the room with you. And I speak perfection over your body right now. I speak complete health over your body right now and freedom in the name of Jesus. Some people, as you're sat there right now, you're getting a revelation of who Jesus is for the first time. And the pastors, as I hand back to them in a second, will explain to you your next steps. But you know, come on, church, let's start to pray for those things right now. And as we pray with authority. We tell the sick places to be healed. We tell the miracles to come forth, okay? Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you that God, that as we the people gather in our two or three, God, you are there, you are present, and where you are present, you are powerful. And God, I thank you that you are moving in those homes today, that you are moving in power today, because that's just who you are. And God, we decide today that we are not going to let the limitations of what we experience right now. We're not going to wait until we can gather in a building. We are the church. We are the people who are attached to the promise. We are the people who are going to say yes to your presence as we gather under your name. And we say yes to your power and you being able to move, Lord God. And I just speak those miracles into being right now. I thank you, Lord God, that you are healing that knee right now. I thank you, Lord God, that skin, you will be well in the name of Jesus. I thank you, hair, you will grow in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for that person that is going to be led to you over those bins today. God, I thank you for their future. I thank you, Lord God, that you are rescuing them from an old life, from a dead life, and you are putting them into a life of fullness. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the stories we're going to hear of the exploits that we, the people, have experienced. Because we decided, hey, you promise that where I gather in your name, you are there with us. We thank you, Lord God. Amen. Have a great rest of your Sunday, church.